It's the morning show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm John Munson. This election season, Wisconsin Public Radio is meeting people where they are in their communities to talk about the issues that matter most to them. As part of our ongoing conversations about the Beyond the Ballot Project, we look at how Wisconsinites are affected by political division. Have you seen political polarization affect your community? How has your vote changed over time? Did you used to vote split ticket but don't anymore? Is political division the most or one of the most important issues this election season? And why or why not? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Ideas@WPR.org is our email address, and you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Jonah Ralston is an assistant professor of political science at UW-Whitewater, and he's the coordinator of the university's public policy and administration program. And Jonah, thank you for joining us this morning.
And thank you for having me.
And we welcome Bridget Bowden to the program. Bridget is a special project reporter at Wisconsin Public Radio and project manager of Beyond the Ballot. Bridget, good morning.
Good morning.
So, Bridget, you're here with us today to offer an update on Beyond the Ballot, WPR News Election Year Project. We'll let Tim Randerson kick us off.
So Tim is from Manitowoc, and he has something to say that we hear a lot as we go around interviewing people.
This country is very divided and needs my input.
Bridget, how often does this issue, political division, come up in conversations with Wisconsinites?
It's one of the top issues. We are asking very vague questions, things like, what is the most important issue to you this election season? And people bring up political division a lot. It's something that people are concerned about.
Jonah, I want to hear from you here. How has division changed over time?
Yeah, well, I think what people are feeling is actually borne out by the evidence on this as well. Particularly since the 90s, there's been an uptick in the amount of division in the country, politically speaking. And so how you can see that is if you look at surveys about people's policy views between Republicans and Democrats. Used to be a lot of overlap in the public on that question, particularly if you go back even as recent as the 90s. And then you take a look nowadays, and what you'll find is that more often than not, you have Democrats falling into more consistently liberal positions, Republicans falling into more consistently conservative positions. And then, of course, at the elite level with politicians, their voting patterns are so divided now, you actually have to look back into the late 1800s to the Civil War period to actually find voting patterns as polarized as they are now.
So you're saying that we haven't been divided like this since about the Civil War?
Well, at least in terms of voting, yes, by the House and the Senate. And that's probably disconcerting a bit, considering what was happening during that time period.
What does this look like in Wisconsin, Jonah?
So in Wisconsin, I think the best example of this is Milwaukee and those surrounding counties of Waukesha, Washington, and Ozaukee. And so when you take a look at those counties, you'll see that around Milwaukee, it's very red. And in fact, voting patterns there often approach over 70% for the Republican candidate. When you go into Milwaukee, the city, what you find is that the voting patterns are, in some areas, well over 90% in favor of the Democratic candidate. That divide is actually one of the most stark, politically polarized urban areas in the country.
Hey, you compared this to, in a recent presentation, you compared this to Chicago, and quite a different picture there. Compare those two for just a moment.
Sure, yeah. You know, interestingly enough, we think of Chicago, of course, as Democratic politics, but when you take a look at Chicago and its surrounding areas, what you have is a lot more mixing. So, you know, we'd say that would be look a little bit more purple, right, as you go out. Because there's actually some areas that are voting, you know, slightly Republican, some voting slightly Democrat. The city itself is pretty Democratic, but there's a lot more mixing around it. That certainly is not the case in Milwaukee, where it really is a stark divide between those surrounding Republican-leaning areas and the Democratic-leaning city.
Well, let's consider what this looks like for voting behavior. What can we learn if we look at split-ticket voting, for example?
Something surprising about that, and maybe not surprising to a lot of listeners, you know, who maybe perhaps were split-ticket voting at one point and are doing less of that nowadays. But, you know, over 1 in 4 voters, just as recently as the late 90s, would be splitting their tickets. That's down to less than 1 out of 20 now. So almost 25% and above at one point in recent history, down to less than 5% now. And I think that's actually captured by, as people remember, in the state when we had Governor Tommy Thompson, a Republican, in the 90s. But at the same time, there were 2 Democratic senators being voted in, Feingold and Cole.
Well, let me turn this back to our listeners here. Did you used to vote maybe split ticket, but now vote straight ticket? If so, what changed for you? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Bridget Bowden, let's bring Mary Lou Shaw into the conversation. Who is she and what's her take?
So we met Mary Lou a little while back. She's from Beloit, and divisiveness is a huge issue for her as well. So here's what she has to say.
Well, yeah, you just see so much about everybody working against each other instead of together.
Jonah, what are the major effects of political division? How does this affect us?
Well, I think the most tangible, at least in terms of the political sphere, is that, you know, less gets done. Obviously, when you just want either A or B, and there's no compromise C, politics works most effectively when, in fact, there is compromise. So we've actually seen a precipitous drop over time in recent years in the number of new bills that are put forward, particularly the bills that are passed. I think we've all seen that play out on the national scene with how difficult to pass anything these days is.
If you look at the numbers of bills passed in Congress these days, it makes Harry Truman's Do Nothing Congress look like real go-getters.
That's correct.
Bridget, let's hear from another listener who worries about polarization's effect on representation. Tell us about Shannon Gebauer.
Shannon is from Toma, and again, here's what she said when we asked her if she feels reflected by her elected officials.
America is so divided right now that any elected official is only going to represent a fraction of his constituency. That's just the way it is.
Jonah, what about what Shannon has to say? How does polarization affect lawmakers and government?
Yeah, I think one of the big effects has been in the primaries. So in the primaries, it's not uncommon to have 5 to 10% of the electorate voting. And, of course, in many states, there's voter registration that requires you to list a party, and that's how you were able to vote in the primary. So what you have is a very small number of very ideologically driven folks determining who the candidate will be. And so I think that there's some merit to that in the sense that it causes candidates to move pretty far left or far right during those primaries. And of course, they're really not capturing those middle voters at that point.
Bridget Bowden of WPR News and Jonah Ralston of UW-Whitewater, stay with us. You can join us at 800-642-1234. Is political division the most or one of the most important issues to you in this election? And why would that be? 800-642-1234. Do you feel like your elected officials reflect you and the community you live in? Or does political divisiveness get in the way? 800-642-1234. I'm John Munson. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. This election season, Wisconsin Public Radio is meeting people where they are in their communities to talk about the issues that matter most to them. As part of our ongoing conversations about Beyond the Ballot, we look at how Wisconsinites are affected by political division. Bridget Bowden of WPR News and Jonah Ralston of UW-Whitewater are our guides this hour on the topic of political divisiveness. Tell us what you think about this. Do you feel like your elected representatives represent you or only the people who supported them? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Bridget, bipartisanship is certainly on the wish list of a number of Wisconsinites. Tell us what Roger Corger had to say.
So Roger is from La Crosse, and that's exactly what he says he wants this election year. Let's take a listen.
To get the politicians to work together and not be so divisive. So if we can get people that can get other people across the aisle to work with them, that would be great.
Jonah, in a world of increased political polarization, how are discussions of bipartisanship playing out?
Yeah, I think it becomes increasingly difficult for politicians because, they do get punished at the polls for these kinds of things these days. So it's interesting, right? You see this phenomenon where people express a desire for it, but then if these politicians don't vote for, in the particular way that they want, and they end up compromising, they can actually get punished pretty severely for that. So you see a lot of talk of wanting this, but I'm not sure that the politicians sense that they'll be rewarded for it.
Let's take a phone call. Lisa joins us from Wausau this morning. Lisa, welcome to the morning show.
Good morning. What I had called about was a couple things that seem kind of menial to me, but I think it would be very important. One is just the seating of Congress. They divide it to the Democrat side and the Republican side. If they were seated so that they were sitting next to each other and mingling and talking, maybe something as simple as that could help. Also, the media, it seems like the more that's repeated, seems like the more that we know. And it's always repeated about how divided it is. And I know there's got to be a tricky balance there because you're wanting to report, but it would be nice if there was more focus on where they are working together because that's more of what we as the public would know then.
Okay. Lisa, thanks for that. Let's go to Jeremy quickly in Racine, and then our guests can respond. Jeremy, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for my call. I think the political divide has been contributed to three things that I've noticed over the last 8 years or so. One, a lot of the narrative is set by the politicians that we elect. They set the tone, they set the narrative, and people become, the constituents become their echo chambers of the politicians. They're trying to do their best to create a narrative to get their agenda passed, and oftentimes people are misled to believe everything they say, so they begin to believe everything they say. Second is social media. I think social media is playing a really big role in people's decision on how they go to the polls and what their political views are and values. And thirdly, I notice a lot of people are not taking time out to actually fact-check our politicians. Get informed before you make a decision. It just seems that it's too easy to jump on your Facebook, read a few posts that are sent by third-party media giants, politicians setting out their narrative, and that's it. They don't start searching the web, looking at WikiLeaks or Wikipedia or Political Facts or anything. They're not taking the time out to inform themselves on what is really going on.
Okay. Jeremy, thanks. I want to get Jonah Ralston's response to this. Are two of our listeners concerned about the role that media and particularly social media play here? What do you think of that, Jonah?
Yeah, I think we have to point to the changing media landscape as part of this, particularly when you think about the days of Walter Cronkite and, everybody was watching the same kind of news source, dealing with the same kind of facts. And then when you go to have a conversation with somebody, you're dealing with the same information. of course, we know now that many people are siloing off and they're just hearing the news that speaks to what view they want to see or hear. And so that, of course, changes the nature of our discussions with one another when we're dealing with different sources of information, particularly when those sources of information are just confirming our pre-existing beliefs.
Bridget, some people bring President Trump up as part of this conversation. What are we hearing?
Yeah, a lot of people actually bring up the president when they're talking about this topic. And I should mention that there are people who voted for him and people who didn't vote for him. So here's LaVita Booker. She's from Milwaukee, and here's what she has to say.
He's a divider. He speaks of division. He doesn't speak of coming together. Every time you hear him tweeting, talking, it's all about divisiveness. It's never about nothing about unity, saying that's good, or it's always, oh, we hate these people, I hate these people, oh, these people make me sick, and he shouldn't be like that because that's causing division.
Jonah, President Trump aside, are we seeing similar feelings about division on the national level?
Yeah, I think we are, and I do think that sometimes divisive leaders can be a consequence of political polarization rather than a cause, or both. And in this case, right, I don't think you have the leaders in Congress and the current president, that do seem to be more accepting of division. I don't think you're going to have that unless you already have the division present, right? They may contribute to it, but again, it does seem like they're more a consequence of it.
Let's take another call. This time we'll go to Muskego, and Troy is with us. Troy, good morning.
Good morning. I think the number one, and I think this is tied in with the Civil War, I think the number one thing it comes down to is I definitely feel that big money and corporations are direct link to our politicians. And because of this, we have a system that only caters to people with a lot of money. And it definitely feels like that. I think we have, especially in Wisconsin, we have currently, and even with our president, we have elitists, and we have people that are in office that are strictly working for big corporations. And there's this divide class where you're either pro-business and you look down on workers, or you're a worker and you're trying to be empowered as a worker, and it's really difficult to do that. So I think that's where our division comes up.
Troy, thanks a lot for that. Jonah Ralston?
Well, I think there's certainly some truth to what he has to say in regard to the influence of money also contributing to this. We know that there's a strong correlation between income inequality and political polarization, so that as we become more divided by socioeconomic status and income and wealth, that we also become more politically divided. And to his point of, the average voter feeling that their view isn't represented, there's actually a pretty good opinion poll that has been asked from 1996 to 2010. And in 1996, when asked how much say do you have in what the government does, about half of people said not much, which, is concerning on its own, right? But when you get to 2010, that number rises to more than two-thirds, 70%. And I imagine if you took it now, it might even be higher than that.
Bridget, let's turn to what it means for future generations, something Pam Kleiss raised during her Beyond the Ballot conversation. Bridget, tell us more.
Yeah, Pam is from Madison, and she is really concerned about political division, and here's why.
How we build a world for our children where they can grow up strong, independent, and financially stable. I think it's increasingly difficult to have good conversations about our future generation because there's so much divisiveness in the media and in the political climate.
Jonah, give us an idea. Given what the data shows us, is political division going to get better or worse?
Oh, gosh. Well, we certainly hate to make predictions these days after a little bit of egg on our face in 2016 for most analysts. But I will say that the trends are concerning, right? They're not moving in the direction of suggesting that there's going to be less division anytime in the near future. And certainly young people are worried about a number of things, one being that, it does look like that they may be financially worse off than their parents. And that's not happened in some decades since that's been the case.
Now, Bridget, for those who want to share their thoughts about political polarization or just get involved in Beyond the Ballot, what can they do?
They can go to our website. That's WPR.org/ballot, and there's a form there they could fill out. We are trying to get to 500 interviews by the election, so we would love it if people would reach out to us to participate. We want to hear what you have to say.
And give that website one more time.
It's WPR.org/ballot.
All right, Bridget Bowden, a reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News and project manager of Beyond the Ballot. Jonah Ralston is an assistant professor of political science at UW-Water. Thank you both for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Coming up next, what is the role of celebrity endorsements in today's politics? We'll explore that coming up next, and we want to hear from you. Do you care if a celebrity endorses a political candidate or makes a political statement? Does it affect your opinion or even perhaps how you vote? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. I'm John Munson. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.